Gamecast from MSN.
Hello and welcome to another MSN Tech & Gadgets Gamecast. You're listening to me, one of the Tech & Gadgets editors, Jane Douglas, along with Nick Taylor, fellow editor. And Ian Lee, your host.
The start of these are always quite polite. And I think maybe next month we should just come in swearing and stuff, you know, and just be a little bit ruder. It's all, we're all very timid and polite and stuff. There's a lot to talk about, mainly the fact that Nick and I are going to Japan next week. Well, partly for holidays, but partly because the Tokyo Game Show is on. We'll talk about that in a bit, because I'm well excited. What have we been playing this month? Let's do the usual. Nick, what have you been playing this month, please?
I've been playing Wet,
The
new Bethesda game. And I've also been playing a very random game on the Wii called World Snooker Championship.
Now, I'm assuming this has got the Wii Motion Plus control thing on it.
You would assume that, wouldn't you? Yeah, with a new game such as that coming out. No,
it hasn't.
It's motion sensitive, but doesn't have Motion Plus. What it does have is one of the most bizarre peripherals I've seen for some time, which is effectively a snooker cue
that you strap
to your remote.
Any good or completely pointless?
Veering towards the second.
Oh, that's a shame, man.
It is a shame. I really like the concept, but ultimately, all that you use the cue attachment for is to set the power of your shot.
Right.
You don't do direction with it. That's all done with the buttons, which is fine. That's okay.
Yeah.
But the main problem is the sensitivity of it, and that is just not there at all.
Right.
the key issue is that this huge attachment that you strap to the end of your remote actually gets in the way of line of sight of the remote and your screen. So a lot of the time you're pointing at the screen and it doesn't pick up.
So I'm guessing, is the controller, is that at the back of the cue or the front of the cue?
It's the front of the cue going all the way down to the tip.
Okay.
So you have the remote at the end, so
right.
You're holding that with one hand, and then you've got this big long stick poking out of there.
It gets totally in the way.
You know, there's sort of the basis of a decent game there, but you can't go far wrong making a snooker game. You know,
no.
You get the physics right, and you're okay. The graphics are about a decade out of date.
Oh, is it endorsed by any celebrities? Isn't it like Jimmy White Snooker?
It's packed with them.
Really?
All of the top players are like, they've got their face on the front. You've got John Virgo doing the commentary and all that. But
oh, dear. That's a shame, because I've had a go on the Motion Plus. It's Motion Plus, is that what it's called? I've had a little bit of play on the Motion Plus, and it is brilliant. It is what it should have done when it first came out. I keep saying that. But the difference is quite incredible. What it adds, and it sounds like this snooker game could benefit from a little bit of that.
I think it'd be transformed if it had included that, because you'd get some proper sensitivity of the controls then. But as it is, I just found it so frustrating to play, because half the time you're trying to take a shot and it doesn't even know what you're doing.
Okay, so you've been playing that. Wet, any good though?
Wet is really good fun. It's a bit of a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
Most of the time you're spent in this kind of slow-mo shooting at bad guys, which is really, really cool, and it looks great. It's quite a short game, and that's probably good, because I don't think you can really sustain that type of gameplay for too long, because they haven't really done much else other than that.
Yeah.
Playing the game when you're not in this slow-mo bullet time isn't actually much fun,
because
you can't really target onto people very well. So you're really encouraged to be in that the whole time. But when you are in it, it looks really cool. I think it actually looks better to play than it is to play, bizarrely. My girlfriend can sit there quite happily watching me playing it and go, oh, wow, yeah, it looks fantastic. And you're playing it and you're thinking, the controls don't feel 100% here.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the issues with it. It's got some very quirky camera angles where it will suddenly whip around and you'll be like, what way do I press the go?
Yeah, that's kind of an old-fashioned. They used to do that a lot in... my mind's gone a complete blank. What's the game... I'm not going to be able to do it. We'd be here forever if I was doing that. It'll pop up at some point in the middle of this. Jane, what have you been playing?
Mostly agree with Nick. I'm actually having a lot of fun with it, but we'll see if it can sustain it. I think I'm about halfway through, and like he says, it's not a very long game. The music's good, though. I'm enjoying the music.
Yeah.
You know, not many games have a cool soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
They've roped in a whole bunch of bands, and it's very much like film-inspired. It thinks of itself as a film. When you start the game up, you play a little prologue, and then you get like kind of opening credits and you know, with all the bands that are on the soundtrack. Yep. And Eliza Dushku, you remember Faith from Buffy? She does the voice of the main character.
I don't remember Faith from Buffy. Okay, I never saw it, but okay.
Anyway, she does the main character, and so it's very filmic, and it's got this kind of film grain effect.
Yeah.
In fact, it's nice when you die, it's like the film projector is screwed up and it will kind of like, you know, whirs down. And,
oh, yeah, I like that.
And yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Resident Evil is what I was thinking of. Sorry. I couldn't remember Resident Evil. How dare I have this job? No, the early Resident Evil games used to do that. You'd come around a corner and
cameras,
you wouldn't know where to go backwards or forwards.
That
sorry.
Yeah. Problem,
yeah. Yes.
Carry on. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. No, it's not a fixed camera, but it does have that same issue occasionally. And also I noticed, like, you can switch between, early on you get the shotguns, double shotguns, which is always fun. But there's no animation to switch between pistols and shotguns, which is really old school. You know, you just, you press the button to
change suddenly weapons, it changes.
And it's just, she's holding a different set of weapons and the other ones are holstered, which seems a bit, in a game that's very stylish.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously thought through in a lot of other respects, to miss that animation is a bit... odd.
That's very so, true. It would be nice to have a really cool, like, sort of whipping the shotguns
exactly,
out.
Exactly, that's what I was looking for. So, but we'll see. I'm going to do a review of it next week, and we'll see how it goes on. And also, I went to Nintendo's Christmas showcase. It must have been since the last podcast, and had a go on Wii Fit Plus, which is out in October. And you've played Wii Fit, haven't you? Yeah,
I've not done Wii Fit.
Oh,
I've not done Wii Fit.
Okay.
No.
Right. Well, it's a bit more of the same, and it's got some things that actually I think the first game could have used. Yeah.
Right.
So like you can customize like fitness workouts.
Or you can work out your own
programs.
So
chain together.
And stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Stuff was previously it was kind of you do a little bit of a workout and then go back to a menu and choose a different exercise.
Right.
And it was funny at the press event they had me doing this flying mini game. So they're like, no, it'd be good for the cameras. I'm like, well, as long as it'd be good for the cameras. So I'm standing on the
important.
Wii Fit board and like flapping my arms like a lunatic. And
and there's footage of this, is there?
I think somewhere there is footage of this.
Ooh,
but,
Nick, we'll hunt that down.
We'll track it down, certainly.
Right,
this afternoon.
Right.
Get it up on the site.
I've been playing, I think, the two of the greatest games have ever been released of all time. I think.
Bold.
The first one is, okay, we'll start off. Batman. Have neither of you had a little... Oh, man, alive!
Yeah. Mm.
It's awesome! I've been a little bit bored of these sort of epic games recently, but it's just incredible. It's beautiful. It's huge as well. Every time I went to save, it's like, oh, I must have got really far in this, 6%. Jeez, I've been playing this for hours. I think... I haven't played it for a couple of weeks, and I think I've got to about 16%.
Mm.
But... It is stunning. It's a work of art. Have you got to this? I can't remember any of the characters' names, but the scene where Batman takes this hallucinogenic, gets sprayed with this hallucinogenic gas, and then he's hiding from the Scarecrow Man or something.
In like this falling apart level.
It suddenly becomes this weird sort of 2D scrolling platformer type thing, but it just looks amazing. Looks amazing. And is it Mark Hamill doing the voice?
It is,
of the Joker? Because I couldn't see a credit anywhere, and he's really good.
He's fantastic as the Joker.
He's brilliant. I was expecting him to be a little bit tongue in cheek and a little bit camp, but it's amazing. It's brilliantly acted, looks stunning. The game is fantastic. I thought I'd be bored of the fighting because the fighting, at first glance, there's not that much to it really. But you can kind of get... I mean, it's not the most intricate fighting system, but you can get quite involved in the whole swinging away and hiding underneath the things and dropping down and... Wonderful.
Mm.
Wonderful. Even my missus was looking at going, this looks really good. And she actually... There was one bit, she said, can I have a go? I said, it's a bit tricky. You probably won't be able to do it.
She said that to...
A bit tricky. You probably won't be able to
pick it
up. She went, oh, okay. But the other game... Speaking of works of art, man, geez, the Beatles Rock Band. Oh, it's everything I could have hoped for and more. You know, when we went and saw the press thing, and I came away a little bit heartbroken.
A bit uncertain,
I tell you what they should have done. They should have played the opening introduction film. Have you seen that?
I haven't, honestly.
It's got to be on YouTube somewhere. Mm. Go and watch the 3-minute, 4-minute opening film. It is genuinely a work of art. You know, I've every time, you normally when I start a game you just press the button and you get straight into it. Every time I've loaded this up, I've watched this. It's this amazing, and whether you're a Beatles fan or not, I think it helps, but if you're not, it doesn't matter because it's stunning. This amazing animation entirely through the Beatles career, starting off with them as this weird sort of cartoony kind of Beatles running through an alley being chased by screaming fans, and ends up with this, I don't know where they got this from, but these kind of psychedelic Sgt. Pepper beetles on top of this huge blue elephant. Every time it takes a step, these penguins jump up. And then it's just about to fall over the cliff, and then it ends. It's wonderful. You must go and look at it. It's goosebumps every time I see it. Mm. They should have played that, and I think that would have blown people away. And the game is wonderful. And in between each level, I've recently played the Cavern Club, the Ed Sullivan Show, Shea Stadium, and the Budokan in Tokyo. In between each level, just this beautiful animation that... stunning. Mm. It's genuinely a work of art.
You think you have to genuinely be a proper Beatles fan to properly get into it?
No, I don't think you do. I think if you hate the Beatles, you're probably going to hate it. But you would even if you hated the Beatles, you would have to accept that the intercut scenes are stunning. You know that it is that someone has spent a lot of time putting these things together. It helps if you love the Beatles because I've unlocked the 1963 fan club Christmas record and some outtakes from a 1964 documentary, which is wonderful. As a Beatles fan, it's great. But no, it's a brilliant game. It's brilliant, and I genuinely think it's a work of art. And I think as well that I think this is a significant point, that you know, games are still kind of on the fringe and still a little bit geeky, whatever we may think about it, not as much as they were 10-15 years ago, but this game was all over the news. It was covered everywhere. You couldn't avoid it in every kind of press, the TV, the Sky, BBC, the newspapers. And I think that this is a real turning point, that games are now properly acceptable as an alternate to watching films and books. Now, we've thought this for a long, long time, and I think that idea has grown for a long time. I'm getting a bit pretentious and up myself, but I've been thinking about this a lot. But I think that this is a significant turning point where games are now as acceptable as listening to a CD or watching a movie, I think.
Yeah, well, they're opening them up to people that wouldn't necessarily buy games. So that's something that's probably started with the Wii, I think.
Yeah.
People that wouldn't go out and buy a console suddenly did because they wanted Wii Fit or, you know, they wanted to play brain
Come on, you can almost say it.
Yeah, I'm getting brain training. On the DS. So then it's the progression from there, isn't it? And emerging T types of entertainment.
We saw an advert for the DS today. And my wife was watching it going, "What? This is a weird advert." And it's kind of like there's an old man doing reading a book on there. And it was kind of middle-aged and older people. She's going, "Why? That's a weird advert for DS. Why are they doing that?" So it's obvious. They want to say, hey, you know, it's not just a games machine for the kids. You know, this is a multi-purpose thing that is acceptable as having a book by your bedside table. You can have this, you know. Mm. But
do you want to read a book on one though?
I wouldn't. I think the screen's too small for the book on that. I think it's a noble idea. Well done. I like thumbing through books, but I just think the screen is too small for the words on that. But you know, it's selling. Hey, listen, dear listener, I may have just been blowing smoke out of my backside and got carried away. The forum, if you disagree or you agree with what I've just said about, you know, the Beatles rock band and games in general, then post your comments, please. Very quickly, I made a quick list of other bands that have been in games as a direct tribute to the Beatles. Frankie Goes to Hollywood had a game on the Spectrum, I think, including a very dubious bit where you had to take what I think was called a pleasure pill. Hey, this is the 80s, man. You had to take like a pleasure pill to build up your strength or something, or it opened portals that you had to walk through into an alternate world. I wonder what that was hinting at. Kiss, I've had a few pinball games, and Psycho Circus, which I'm a big Kiss fan. I was very excited about this on the Dreamcast, but it's unplayable, really. It's kind of like you're this fantasy kind of character running around collecting swords and killing dragons, and every now and then you find a jukebox that's got Kiss songs on, but it's the control, talking about controls earlier on, it's just unplayable, which is the same. Journey? Do you remember Journey? I can't remember what their song was.
The only reason I know Journey is because they have a song in Rock Band.
Okay.
That when I go on random selection, just always seems to come into the set list, and I hate it.
Is it Don't Stop Believing? Is it that one? That's Journey, right?
I think so. I remember them. Yeah. I don't remember what they did.
I can't even remember the name of it. I just know that whenever I see Journey, it makes me angry.
But I remember this... I think it was this game and not the Aerosmith game. I think it was the Journey game because their heads were like black and white photocopies. So their bodies were like computer animation and their heads were black and white photocopies kind of stuck on. I remember seeing that in the arcades. Michael Jackson Moonwalker, we mentioned. Go on, sorry, Nick.
Well, I found out there was apparently two Journey games.
Oh, hello.
They were
this
so
is for
popular.
The completist.
One wasn't enough. One was an arcade game, and then there was another one which was different, called Journey Escape. And that came out for the Atari.
Now, did that have Journey? Did that have the Rock Band in? Or are you sure that wasn't?
Well, so you were on the road with Journey, one of the world's hottest rock groups.
One of the world's hottest rock groups. We can't remember what song they sung.
Well, yeah, but it was your job to guide the Journey band members past hordes of love crazed groupies. Sneaky photographers and shifty-eyed promoters. Apparently.
Surely the band wouldn't want you to go get them past the love-crazed groupies.
They wouldn't want have you thought to. So. Maybe you played Journey's mum or something like that. That was why.
And there was an Aerosmith game which I remember playing in the arcade, which was genuinely a brilliant game. Where Aerosmith, I think they got kidnapped. Revolution X, they got kidnapped, and you had to rescue each level. You had to rescue the member of the band, and then I think. They got together and played Dude Looks Like a Lady. I think that's what they did at the end of it. I'm not totally sure.
They should bring that one back out. That sounds great.
Yeah, they should do. And I was reading, interestingly, that there is dispute over Kurt Cobain in Rock Band 5. I don't know quite what the dispute is, but there are some people...
Yeah, we were talking about this beforehand. Obviously, he's the second posthumous artist to appear in a Guitar Hero game, because Jimi Hendrix was in World Tour.
Oh,
but with Jimi
yes.
Hendrix, once you'd unlocked him, or you know, once you were playing with him, he could only play his own
Hendrix
music.
Songs.
Right. Cobain, you can unlock and he'll play any of the songs in the game, which is obviously a bit jarring when he's singing, I don't know, some god-awful
Journey.
Yeah.
When he's singing Journey.
For example. And Dave Grohl's mad about it, and Courtney Love says the contract didn't allow for that, you know, particular kind of usage, and yeah, everyone's quite upset. But Nick was saying, and it's true, that it has been really great for media coverage,
yeah,
because it's especially in the shadow of Beatles Rock Band, it needed some kind of hook.
Yeah, everyone's a winner in that respect.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting. I mean, who knows how far the dispute will go? We want to talk too much about what could be a legal case. But it'll be interesting to see what the end result is and what would happen and what effect. I was really going back to Rock Band. Paul McCartney was saying, well, John Lennon would find this hilarious, you know, that this is people are hearing his music and he's on a computer screen. Now, whether that's the case or not, I don't know. But it is, it's interesting. We'll watch the Kurt Cobain thing with interest. And those are all the rock bands I've got in computer games there. So that's a little summary. I'm sure there are many more. Again, have a little word on the forum if you think. Now, computer game news. What's happening in the world of computer games?
You had the sales of the PS3 increased 1,000% thanks to the PS3 Slim. It's a little bit...
are they massaging the figures?
Well, it's week on week.
Right.
And so I guess the week before it comes out, no one's going to go and buy a PS3 when you know the PS3 Slim is coming out in a few days.
Okay.
So my assumption is that it drops off a fair bit, you know, and then picks up again. But, you know, whether it's massaged or not, it was a huge boost for PS3 in the UK and elsewhere. And in fact, Nick picked his up.
I got one.
You're part of the 1,000%.
You jumped on the bandwagon. You've been talking for ages about getting one.
Yes, and fine.
Are you enjoying it?
Very much so. Yeah, I think I will enjoy it more when the really big exclusives come out. That are kind of the reason I've got hold of one. Thinking about stuff like Heavy Rain and God of War 3. But yeah, it's very slim, which is good. But I was slightly disappointed because I got it on launch day, and which was great and fine and everything like that. And then the day after that, all the deals started coming out. And it was like, oh, buy your PS3 Slim with these two free games that are great and all that sort of thing. So, I got a little bit stitched up. But
The thing is, we will never learn from that because I do exactly the same thing. I always go and buy it. I've got to have it on the day. I've got to have it on the day. And then you're right, like the day later. I remember when I bought my PS1. It wasn't on the day, but it was quite a long time after it came out, and it was still like £400 or something. And literally, I was skint. I wasn't working. I had to get it on HP, and it was cost me a fortune. Literally, the next day, I walked past Dixon's, and it was reduced to £250 or something like that.
Yeah, it's classic.
But I always get stuff on the day that it comes out, and
I was just concerned by the experience of when the Wii came out, and if you didn't get it on the day of release, you weren't getting it for about 6 months because suddenly there was none left. And so I thought, I won't be a fool this time. I'll get right in there. And
says that you're the bigger fool. I remember that when we came out, and everyone was like buying two and then selling one on eBay for double the price, and you know, making their money back. I remember,
It's terrible.
We had a games chart. I thought we could talk about the games chart.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Figures up to weekending September 12th. Guitar Hero 5 in number one.
Is it number one?
Which
it's
is above
Rock Band.
Beatles Rock Band, which is at number four. But we'll see if that pans out, you know, because they both only came out, you know, very, very
Yeah, I guess recently. I guess that, you know, it will be interesting to see that, the Beatles backlash has kind of started already with people going, there's a thing on Radio 4 the other day, someone saying, Beatles are rubbish, childish nonsense. So, you know, I guess the Guitar Hero does appeal to a broader base of computer game fan.
And then there's Colin McRae, Dirt 2, number 2, and Batman in at 3. Arkham Asylum 3, that's good.
I fancy a bit of Batman now, actually. It's been such a dry few months for me, games-wise. Mm. And suddenly two come out within weeks of each other, and it's...
Do you want to finish up now? You know, we can...
Yeah, do you mind?
Is that off earlier?
Yeah, thanks for listening. Ta-ta. We fit always in the chart. Yeah. That's never going to go anywhere. Wii Sports Resort. I've been playing a bit of Wii Sports Resort. It's good.
Yeah.
Been a bit of archery.
Good fun. Archery's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Archery's good, and the sword fighting.
Yes.
That's awesome. I enjoyed that a lot. That's proper old school.
Yeah.
What's this Stumovic?
Birds of Prey. That's it's a flight sim. I haven't actually tried it, but apparently it's...
a flight combat sim. Mm. So if you like shooting planes out of the sky, it would be your sort of thing. But, looks pretty decent.
Call of Duty 4?
Yeah.
What's that doing back up in there?
It's always popular. I guess maybe if they're selling... Did they put out platinum version?
I reckon a lot of these charts are probably influenced by specials on Amazon or somewhere like that.
Wolfenstein in there, number 17. I read a stinky review of that, I'm guessing, in Edge magazine that said not really as good as perhaps it should be. I've got a few friends that have been playing it that said it's great for a while, but it doesn't... Because they tried to add a free roaming sandbox. Is that what I like that phrase, which I learned from you, Jane. They've kind of brought a free roaming sandbox element to it, but have not quite understood what makes that a good part of the game, you know, so it doesn't really... It's just too big and you're wandering around a lot, I guess, is the...
Strange thing to add to Wolfenstein, I would have thought.
Yeah. You just want to go around killing Nazis, don't you? That's what that's all about. And the usual... FIFA 09 is in there, but FIFA 10's out in, like, 20 minutes or something. Ridiculous, isn't it?
It is, yeah, right at the start of October.
But you're right, probably...
But I wonder if you go into a shop and see FIFA 09, you think that's the new FIFA, because it is 2009.
Would.
I don't know, maybe not. That's speculation.
Disappointed kids on Christmas Day, if that's the case.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like parents, maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
I think there probably is a lot of that going on, actually, and it's always a confusing one.
Mm. Champ Manager only in at 13, despite being only a penny to buy.
But it's number one in the PC charts.
It is number one.
It's number one in the PC charts.
It's what you want to pay or something, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
pay what you want. He says it's a
penny. Listen to Mr. Taiwan over there. When they do these things, it's what you think it's worth.
Not what you can get away with.
That's true.
But, yeah, it's...
Now, why have they done that? Because it's a big seller anyway, isn't it? Championship Manager.
It is, yeah. It was only a pre-release offer. You can't do it now.
Okay.
Up until the day of release, it was, pay what you want, and then the postage, which was about another £2.50.
No, the postage was £25.
Yeah, thanks very much.
That's how they did that. That's interesting.
But, intriguing way to market your game.
You play it, because you got it, obviously.
Well, what I hoped was that I could play it on my netbook, which I've got like a 10-inch screen netbook, and I thought it would be perfect for on the train commute every day to work. I don't think it's playable on a netbook. It'll run, but the issue is that the screen isn't really big enough. So you need to ferret around with your resolution and make it so that you can scroll up and down, and then it's just not keeping up with things. Yeah, that's tricky.
Shame.
Yeah, shame on you. Cool. Gran Turismo 5 is coming out. Do we know when that's coming out? Is it that?
Classic for its date just being out there.
It's one of them, is it? Well, now I think it's going to have the head. Was it head turning, head tracking?
Yeah,
technology.
This looks awesome.
So, but tell me how this works, Nick. Because I was reading it, I don't quite understand. How is it going to affect the game?
What I've seen about
he's an expert all of a sudden.
What I've seen about head tracking was only quite recently. I saw a really cool video of this guy called Johnny Chung Lee explaining how he'd set it up to work. And this guy has since moved over to Project Natal to work on that. And the way he'd done it was to get a Nintendo Wii, but reverse things. So he had the sensor bar strapped to his head, basically.
Oh, how cheeky!
And then had the remote sat
there. I saw this video actually a little while back, and it makes your TV into almost like a window. So
it's
when
fantastic.
You move your head, you see a different kind of view through the screen.
Whoa.
Which was, I mean, he had, it was like a...
My mind is blown.
Prototype software, you know, so it was...
Absolutely,
basic,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
but good.
You can effectively look around corners. And it only works for the person who's wearing the, you know, all the kit. If you're looking at it from elsewhere, you don't get the effect. But if you are wearing it, it looks awesome. It's like having 3D without 3D glasses, because you can have sort of depth of field working. Because as you look like that from one side to the other,
he's dodging from side
to
side.
I wish you could see this. We must make a video of this one day and put this on the website, because this is great fun. Go on.
As you look from side to side, everything. Everything moves as it should do, as it would do in real life, and it's something that's really, really tricky to explain. But look up head tracking on YouTube, and
how's this gonna work in Gran Turismo 5? So you're in the car, and you turn and you can look out of the window of the car.
Yeah, it's basically going to mean that you can look from side to side through your windscreen, so you can see if people are coming up alongside you.
But then if you're turning,
check your mirrors, maybe.
You're not looking at the screen, then, are you?
I don't think it's head turning. It's head. Side to side tracking.
It
rather
is.
Than
okay.
Head
you need
turning.
To act out again. Sorry.
It's more like if you're just moving side to side, but you're still looking forwards.
Yeah.
So you look at the screen. I think.
Hang on. What's the point of that then?
Well, Jane's analogy of the window is probably the best way of thinking of it.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at a window, and if you move from one side to the other, you'll see more of the outside world than you would if you're just.
I can't get my head around this. I need to
check out the video.
Okay.
That'll make it.
I'll put a link on the message board so one can go straight to that video.
That would be great. I was going to say, I didn't realise I was about to say something very complicated. What would be great is if you've got a screen in front of you, a screen behind you, and two at the sides. But then I realised, as I was about to say, that's actually a ridiculous thing to suggest. So, although there's probably somewhere listening to this who has that set up in their home.
That's quite arcadey. I mean, they were showing Forza with like three screen wraparound, so you have one on the side and one in the front, which is glorious, but not home setup.
It require three Xboxes to run it as well.
Really?
Not an average home setup. Yeah,
Quite intense.
Very quickly, Sony are experimenting with 3D gaming.
The tech was in the TV. It was at IFA, and they had a Bravia telly hooked up to a PS3, so it was a regular PS3. But the 3D processing, the picture processing, was actually in the TV set.
I've seen these televisions,
which is cool. And it only works. You can't do it with movies and TV because it has to be like CG stuff. Like that looked kind of interesting.
I've seen those 3D TVs where you don't wear glasses. And they're all right, but they're not... I think they're a long way off from being 3D. It's not kind of 3D as we know it.
But this was with glasses, wasn't it? I think.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I saw a 3D TV that didn't have glasses.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so okay. Well, now okay. I'm back. I'm in again. If it's got glasses, because 3D with glasses is one of the most amazing things I've seen. I'm a big fan of 3D.
I'm not sure I want it in games, really. I
think it's strict too many?
Yeah, I think it just might be a distraction. Mm. You know, I'm quite happy with things. Maybe I'm a Luddite, but I like things as they are at the moment in terms of the 2D-ness.
You want your cassette loader, you want to, you know.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. And 3D, 3D has been around for years and years and years. And everyone keeps saying, oh, no, this time we've got 3D right, and this time you're going to have it in your homes. And I remember being like 8, and there was like, we've got 3D TVs coming, and it's never taken off. I think maybe you're right that people don't want it. But if there is a way of incorporating it into the game so it becomes a significant part of the game, that could be
that's true.
Cool.
That's true. I think my fear is that it's just going to be another bit of gloss to add to a game that won't ultimately have the gameplay underneath it, which is where the focus should always be.
I had a go with Avatar, the Cameron film that's coming out.
Have you seen any of the film?
I have seen a bit of the film, and I saw some of the game at the same time because they were doing obviously promoting it over at Gamescom in Germany.
Yeah.
And that's with glasses as well.
Right.
Well, it's kind of like Nick says, it's not. The 3D isn't integral to the game. It's a decent action game from what I've seen so far, and it's kind of in a jungle setting, which looks really nice.
Mm.
But it would look really nice regardless of whether you saw it in 3D or not. But what was interesting actually is because they to get it to run at, you know, a sufficient number of frames per second to look really nice, the Xbox has to work like flat out. Well, I mean, whatever console you're playing on has to work flat out. In this case, it was an Xbox, and so he's like, come over here, touch the Xbox.
Boiling.
It was like boiling hot. So so respect, because it is a technical achievement.
Are people going to end up getting migraines? Remember there was an attachment for the Game Boy, I think, years ago, where it was like I can't remember what it's called. It's like Super Game Boy, or I should know this. It's like this big red thing. You had to be on a stand, and you had to put your eyes up against it, and you could see everything in 3D. But it was like red. Everything was only in red. That was the only colour that would work. And they stopped. Nintendo stopped making it because it gave people migraines. It's worth a fortune now on eBay.
Wow.
What's it called? I should know this, being a retro head. And I've seen one. It's beautiful. It's this stunning, you know, design classic, but just made everyone really, really sick. So they stopped making it. Look on eBay. They cost a fortune. Enough of this nonsense. The only reason I'm here, excuse us, Jane. Nick, see you in Tokyo next week.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I'm really sorry, Jane, that you can't come, but you've been off on...
Yes, it's not my turn.
And this
it's
isn't
Nick's
a jolly.
Turn.
This is well, it's work. But Nick and I are separately, coincidentally, both going to Japan for holidays. Coincidentally, while the Tokyo Game Show is on, it's funny, I booked the tickets for Japan, going with my wife. And I went, oh, would you... Look at this! We've got the Tokyo Game Show's on the same time we're there. What? No, we must go. And I've blagged some press passes as well, so I'm going on the Friday. Very exciting. Now, have you ever been before?
No.
I have no idea what to expect. I've never been to any of these big game shows, and I'm assuming this is going to be one of the best. What's going to be there?
I'm expecting it to be completely manic.
Yes.
There's a load of really big games there. Sony are taking a really strong lineup for the PS3. And Microsoft's also have got a lot of really good games going out there, a lot of big third-party games as well. But as you say, the first 2 days are the press days, and then the second 2 days, they let all the public in.
Yeah.
And so that is going to be a completely different experience for me, being that the last show I was at was E3, which was totally closed doors.
Right.
Apparently, once they let the public in, this place is absolutely heaving, and you can't get anywhere near a game because the queues are so long.
Still heaving on the press days as well, though, I'd imagine.
Yeah, just not quite as intense.
We're going on the queues. Friday, which is a press day, but we land in Japan at 9:30 in the morning, and then we're aiming to, my head... go to the hotel, drop the stuff off and get straight there. So we're probably going to get there after lunch, I'd imagine. But I'm a little bit scared as well. It's going to be so daunting. If we get the chance, well, we should say this, no promises. If Nick and I get the chance and we meet up there, we're going to record a little tiny little bonus podcast for you, dear listener. So that would be a nice treat. I'm sure we can make that happen. But so it's new games, new hardware, new bits and pieces.
Yeah, I mean, it's mainly focused on the game. So there's going to be some really cool stuff out there. I'm hoping to see some more about Alan Wake.
Right.
We're going to get a new sort of trailer. I don't think that one's going to be hands-on, though. There's Crackdown 2. That's going to be hands-on. Okay. Just had something through about that today. Bayonetta as well. Looking forward to seeing some of that.
Very, very exciting.
And as I mentioned earlier, Heavy Rain as well. That's going to be playable there. So hopefully get a bit of time on that.
Good, sensible boy. And you've booked in interview sessions, have you, on these games?
With a few of the developers. Okay. Yeah.
I'm just going to turn up and wander around.
I think that might be a good approach as well.
I'm kind of not even expecting to get on the games because I imagine it's going to be heaving. And I'm just kind of going for the whole spectacle. You know, in Japan... does big things. They do it like no other country in the world, you know, and it's just mental. And I'm just going to go for the experience of seeing that.
Yeah.
It's going to be wonderful.
Yeah. Apparently there's a whole section they devote just to gadgets as well, just all your mad Japanese gadgets that no one else ever sees.
Oh, yes.
So that'll be a really good spot to go and check out as well, I think.
See you there, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm excited.
Jane, we'll send you a postcard, sir.
Please.
Yeah, no worries.
Please send me a postcard. Okay, right. Should we talk about the message boards?
Yeah, what have they been saying?
We asked, do you play on easy mode or always hard mode or whatever? And we also were asking, what are your favourite arcade sort of shoot 'em ups? We had quite a few mentions for R-Type from Stinger 1981 and from Rob 1980, who also likes R-Type Final on the PS2. And who was it? Geeky Tom mentioned Ikaruga. I've played it. I've never had to say it before, so I hope I'm pronouncing it right.
Is that the one where you can swap between black and white?
Yes, it's the
Japanese.
It was on the Dreamcast originally, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've got it on the Dreamcast.
But, good one.
is good, but is again bonkers Japanese thinking. Hmm. I wonder if that's the Geeky Tom I know. Hello, Geeky Tom, if it is.
Could be. Johnny J says, must admit, also loved R-Type and downloaded the new one on Xbox Live. And oh, he says, yeah, I usually play on medium, to be honest, or easy, depending on how many beers I've had.
I'm surprised by it. There's a lot of people saying they go pretty easy.
Metal Gear Solid said, I have an Xbox 360. I always play easy first so I can rush through it and see the story. Because he's not bothered, he says, he can't be bothered to get the achievements. But if I get bored, I get a hard next. I think people who do hard are nerds wanting the extra 50G or more gamer score.
Now, achievements, and what's it called on the PlayStation? There's a
trophies.
Yeah,
doesn't interest me in the slightest. I get no, you know, with the old excellent achievement. Couldn't care less.
I don't like it when you've completed a game and it's in the middle of like the significant cutscene, like they do at the end of Gears of War 2 and a whole bunch of games, and you've done some significant thing and you get like this bing, like in the middle of the cutscene. It's like, congratulations, you've just done this or completed the game.
I don't even really know.
It's a little bit jarring.
And some of the games is like you get one for opening a door. You know, you get so really stupid early on, a door-opening achievement.
You finished the tutorial level or something.
I don't want an achievement for that. I just want, give me points in the game. That's
I quite like achievements, but that's just me.
I don't want to be into them, but I kind of am.
in
the back
boy.
Of my mind. Like, yeah. I do quite like it when one pops up. And, there we go, ding, ding.
I've achieved one. I've not wasted the last 3 hours sat here.
some of them can be quite fun, though, if you do go in ahead of actually getting them and check which ones you're after, because then it can give you an aim on top of what you're already doing in the game. Mm. And so I think that can be quite fun.
Okay. And sometimes they encourage you to play the game better, like in Left 4 Dead. I know we've mentioned it many a time, but there are achievements that, in order to get, you really have to, you know, use teamwork, and so it's that extra kind of added incentive to not just play for yourself.
Might be quite nice to hear on the message boards actually which achievements people are most proud of getting, because sometimes you really do have to put the effort in. I'm thinking of the wax on wax off achievement on Geometry Wars. If you've played that, where you have to go all around the edge of the screen and then all the way around back again, but without firing a shot. And by the time you're getting towards the end, the whole thing is just filled with enemies.
Is it
enemies
really? Because isn't there another achievement that's like pacifism? You have to last a certain amount of time without shooting.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So your biggest achievement. And we don't mean you've got a PhD or you gave birth to a wonderful son. We're asking in-game achievements and trophies.
The ones that really count.
Trophies and whatnot. What else we got?
Can I just interrupt you? I just want to say something.
Yes.
That guy over there has posted. Ha ha ha. It's hilarious how Ian has no problem slating everyone else's favourite games, e.g. F-Zero, Final Fantasy. Well, that guy over there, they're rubbish, they're easy to slate. Simply because they're not FPSs. But as soon as someone comes out for a well-explained reason as to why his precious Left 4 Dead isn't a good game, he starts crying about it. I don't think anyone has come up with a good argument as to why Left 4 Dead isn't a good game. It's a wonderful game.
He also said, anyways, I usually play games on medium because I'm pretty content with that, and I'll go along with that. And he said,
talk about Cataclysm,
James.
Talk
about Cataclysm. No one here's going to care about Cataclysm.
Oh, no, so listen. That guy over there who can't construct a sentence and say what he actually means is asked for it, so let's do it for him.
Well, I'll describe it because, you know, then we'll know what we're talking about. It's a World of Warcraft Cataclysm, to give it its full name.
I thought it might be.
You thought it might be. It's the newly announced expansion.
Right.
And it's going to be a huge, huge expansion. And it's called Cataclysm because it's this kind of apocalyptic thing that's happened to the game world. So they're going to kind of completely redo the game world. There's going to be flooding and kind of disasters and stuff. So if you're into the game, it's actually a huge deal. But I know you guys aren't.
That
well sounded
sarcastic.
Fans.
It wasn't. I kind of like the sound of it. My tongue is in my cheek because it's not the same as Final Fantasy, which is all cutscenes.
No, it's a completely different RPG experience.
Exactly, it's a whole immerse yourself in the life. It does appeal to me. I just know that if I got into it and gave it the couple of hours it would need, I'd just be gone, you know. And I can't do that anymore. I've got stuff to do.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it before, but there's a feature in game. It's called you type / played, and it tells you how many hours in real game time you've spent playing that game, and it's among the most depressing things you can
do.
What
did you get?
You know what? I haven't played for such a long time because I've been out of it for a while that I can't remember, but it was something horrific. Like, I was playing it because it came out years and years
ago. Give us
now.
The number. Come
I don't.
On, give
I tell
us
you what,
number.
I will look it. I will go online and I will look it up and then I'll report back with the exact figure, but it was something terrifying. So I don't know why they included that feature because it's. quite depressing.
I told you about the time I played it. Did I tell you about the time? I played it once. I think it was World of Warcraft. I played it once years ago, and I used to like EverQuest years ago, and then I stopped and I thought, I'll give World of Warcraft. I think it was this. And I started in this town. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, and I started talking to this guy, and he said, "Oh, you're a newbie, are you? Well, listen, follow me, and I'll show you what to do." I was like, "Oh, brilliant." And he took me up an alleyway and stole my trousers.
That was Warcraft.
Was it not Warcraft?
You can't steal trousers. No, you can't.
Okay. I took my trousers off. Because he said something like, "I'll give you some trousers that will give you like really good protection or something."
Well, you gave them to him, and
I gave them to him, he took them, then he ran away.
Okay, maybe it was Warcraft then.
He said he'd give me some armor or something, and then
I sat there and went,
"Oh, stuff this." I never played it ever again.
It's a good story. Okay, what else have we got? Clarky12 says, I would always start a game on normal as it should be challenging enough for a new person to play but not too difficult.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Nico the Quailman, favourite shoot 'em ups, Galaxian. That's a classic. Mm. Defender, yes, Defender is, and Iridium, I don't know Iridium, but Defender is, I wouldn't have considered, of course it's a shoot 'em up. Yeah, wonderful game. Who did you trust enough to press your hyperspace button? That was always the thing, you know, it was... Yes.
Quite interestingly, Enzo De Gregorio says towards the end of his comment, here we go. I'm also interested in hearing about your views on achievement points and trophy levels.
Oh, there we go. Lovely.
Fantastic.
Huh. Well, then there we go. Well, let's throw that out as a question.
As well.
What is your biggest achievement in games and your best trophy point?
Yeah.
Or are you like me? Do you think, you know, you're just not interested every time it comes up? Yes, so what? Who cares?
Well, one thing I'd like to mention as well, while we've got the time, is MSN is sponsoring one of the Golden Joysticks
this year. Okay, lovely.
big awards at the end of October, and MSN is sponsoring the multiplayer game of the year. So we've got a special area on the site where you can go and make your votes. It's quite a long URL, so the short version is tinyurl.com/MSNGold. So if you go there, give us your votes.
Lovely. Right, that's probably enough for this, isn't it? I need to go home and play Batman and Beatles Rock Band.
Get stuck in, yeah.
All right, I'll see you in Tokyo next week. Man, it's so exciting when you say it like that. And we're going to have some dinner and stuff, but it'll be fun, it'll be nice. Awesome. Jane, see you next month back here.
Yeah, see you in a month in England.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
Cheers.
Gamecast from MSN.